Guess what? We're going to spend the next few weeks talking about sex. What's up? I kind of expected more of like a, yeah, oh, yes. And some people like jumping up, woo, sex, yeah. No? Oh, man. All right, but before we get going on this, I want to lay down some ground rules. Don't worry, today shouldn't be the awkward day. That should probably be like the next 2 weeks. Those will be the awkward ones. So make sure you bring your friends for that one. And yeah. Now, we probably won't talk about circumcision, but...
What's a eunuch?
We'll get to eunuchs, because... Never mind. We'll get there. Don't worry. Before we get going on this thing, I got to bring it down serious just for a second, and I just want to say, you know, when this topic comes up, along with it, oftentimes comes just a lot of baggage, because we're all coming from very different places with regards to our sexual history, even our knowledge about sex, any of that stuff. So I just want you guys to keep that in mind as we talk about this, because hopefully this will be, well, I was going to say interactive, but then you could take that weird. So I hope that you guys can, I hope you can communicate with me as I communicate with you and communicate with each other. We'll just all be communicating lovingly. So, but as that happens, you know, I want you guys to remember that we're all coming from different places, and we have different ideas, and we have different beliefs and different thoughts. And what I hope to do in here is to find out, you know, what does God have to say about it? Because, you know, what I think about it's all fine and dandy. You know, I basically think, you know, girls should always wear baggy sweatpants and sweatshirts and, yeah, cover up the cooties, keep them all, contain them inside. And guys should all wear blinders on all the time, and so they can never look. And they should all be eunuchs. So, told you we're getting there. What's a eunuch? Actually, being a eunuch wouldn't help you out too much in a lot of different ways. So don't do that. Don't go look it up and then... Just don't do it. All right. But in all seriousness, as we get going in this, I just want you guys to remember that, you know, it's possible that people in here have some traumatic experiences. It's possible that people in here have absolutely no experience whatsoever. And it's possible that, you know, some of us are just in the middle there somewhere. And so just keep that in mind when people share stuff or when they throw out an idea or an opinion or a guess on an answer or anything like that. Just keep that in mind that we're all coming from very different spots, and try to be sensitive to that, how you respond to that. With that said, feel free to giggle whenever you need to, because it just kind of makes it, you know, feel less awkward but look more awkward when you're giggling. So don't worry about it. All right. Here's how we're starting. Who's got questions? No, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, who's got questions? No, seriously, kidding. All right, but, no pun intended, because we're, never mind. Wow. It's going to be a long few weeks. I'm telling you, it's going to be really long.
He said long.
All right, from here on forth, I'm going to write out word for word what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to have like eight. Will you mind proofreading? Just make sure there's no like euphemisms in there. It's going to be impossible. All right. So try to just point out every like third or fourth one that I say that, you know, is hilarious, all right, so that we can kind of move forward. All right, good. So... Awesome. Let's start here, actually. We're all sexual beings. There are the giggles. I love it. We're gonna start there. It's true. You, me, all of us, we're all just sexual beings. We all, you know, at some point in our life, if not yet, you know, probably most of you are there, but maybe not all of you yet, you're gonna wanna have sex. Often. So we're starting there. That is a good thing. That is designed by God. That is for you. That's a gift. And it's not a bad thing at all. So we're all going to have that desire. However, today we're going to chat a little bit about desire, sort of in general, and hopefully it'll make it a little bit less awkward for today because we're going to go general and then get a little more specific in the next few weeks. But we're going to talk about desire and how desire is a good thing. But desire twisted can go real bad real quick. And can anybody think of an example of that outside of our main topic? Where desire is a good thing, but desire outside of that. Twisted desire. What's that? In what way? Specific. Yeah. 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 Like wanting to excel at work. That's a good, you know, you want to be good at what you do. That's why you guys are in school. That's why, you know, some of you guys are going to go to college or into the military or whatever, or just develop a trade or a craft or whatever. But there's a term, workaholic, for a reason. You know, so that's when it gets twisted. Good. Anybody think of another example? What about food? Is that what you said? Oh, I didn't hear. Sorry. Yeah, what about food? Totally. Like, we all have desires to eat, right? Because if we didn't have a desire to eat, then we'd wither away and die, and we wouldn't last long. So that's a good desire. It's given to us by God. But what happens when your desire to eat gets twisted? I heard gluttony over here. Gluttony? Is that you? Good. Gluttony. Or the opposite, overeating or undereating happens. When you have a desire for food, but your desire to have a certain body image overtakes that, you know, undereating can happen too. So those get twisted. They get distorted. Well, the same thing can happen with your sexual desires. So we're actually going to, you know, a lot of people think that the Bible, you know, and I get this kind of, like, the Bible is like this old book. It's like a couple thousand years old, and it's written by people in a totally different culture on the other side of the world. And what does it really have to say about stuff that's really pertinent to us and important to us? And in this specific instance, I think it has a lot to say. In fact, it's been kind of awkward because the last, like, few weeks I've just been, you know, preparing for this series. And so, like, some of you guys have, like, texted me, like, hey, what's going on? I'll be like, I'm just at church. Oh, what are you doing at church? I'm reading about sex. Like, what? That's kind of awkward, but that's what I'm doing at church right now. And so I've been doing this for, like 3 weeks, right? And so over those 3 weeks, I've gone through, like, passage after passage after passage. It's almost like, you know, everybody's down on Hollywood because, you know, movies these days, they just have so much sex and stuff in it, and it's true, you know, and it's explicit so much, and it's just like, man, you can't even go to the movie. I'm, like, worried about my kid, you know, because he's growing up, and I'm like, man, can I take my, like, when he gets, like, 5 or 6, can I even take him to the movies to watch a movie that doesn't have any sex in it? You know, it's, like, crazy. But then I started reading the Bible, and the Bible is full of sex. It's insane. I wanted to you know, catch you up. In college, this is my favorite verse in college. This is out of Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. That's the forbidden book in the Bible. Has anybody ever read Song of Solomon? Be honest. A couple of timid hands. Where's the hand? I didn't even see a hand. Even Chris is embarrassed. It's like the forbidden, you know, because it's all about this, like, these two lovers, and they're, like, chasing after each other, and they're talking all, like, lovey-dovey, and they're like, oh, you know, all this, like, kind of like, can they say that in the Bible kind of stuff? But this is my favorite. So it's this, the lover and the beloved. So it's this man who's called the lover, and this woman called beloved, and they're just like talking back and forth to each other, and then every now and then their friends throw in like a something random. And but this one part, this is my favorite verse in college, and I'm a little bit embarrassed about it, and I wish this wasn't true. But it's the lover, and it's towards the end of the book, and he's, you know, this whole time he's been like trying to woo his beloved woman. This is Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, 7:7-8. Your stature is like that of a palm, and your breasts like clusters of fruit. I said, I will climb the palm tree. I will take hold of its fruit. No mental images, people. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. And so all throughout the Bible, there's just like all this sex everywhere. And we're going to get our very last time we're going to be talking about this stuff. We're going to go through a story we talk about every single year, and it's of why we... Who said, now I can't eat fruit? I think technically... It's just coconuts, because she's a palm, and yeah, so don't worry. But even the name of our youth group comes out of a story just riddled with sex. And so it's all throughout the Bible, everywhere. And so I think for us today, when we look at this book that's a couple thousand years old, that sometimes just doesn't seem relevant at all, in this topic, in this arena of our sexuality, it's so very relevant. So we're going to kick in right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can jump in if you want to. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. So this guy named Paul wrote this book, and he's writing it to a church in Corinth, and they've got some issues. So back in those days, it was like totally kosher for like all these pagan religions and stuff. Like when you, this is going to be awkward for you in a second, but like when you would go to church, like the pagan religion church, you would go to church. Anybody know what you would do there? Drink. You would drink. What else? You would have sex with prostitutes. And in fact, they'd have orgies. And not only was that acceptable, but that was part of how they, you know, we sing songs. They had orgies and had sex with prostitutes and boozed it up. So some of you might be thinking that sounds like a cooler church to me than your terrible guitar playing over here. But hey, tried my hardest, all right? Can't compete with that. All right, good.
What chapter?
1 Corinthians 6. All right, so that happened like all the time, right? And so, Paul went through Corinth and he started preaching. Hey, there's this guy named Jesus. You know, he died on the cross for you guys, for your sins. And, you know, he's got something to say, you know. And so he started this church, and there's this group of Christians. And yet they were still kind of going to church and doing the dirty, you know. All right, so this is kind of the context where we're coming in. So he's writing a letter to him saying, what? All right, so it says this in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, I'm going to forewarn you. This is going to offend some of you guys. But it's not me, it's the Bible, it's God. So don't be mad at me. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, who are the wicked? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So those things are things that God doesn't approve of. Right? And those things all come out of desires that are good that were twisted. And Paul's saying, you know, you guys live in this culture where all this stuff is okay, kind of like us. I mean, it's kind of even worse than that. Are there any churches around here where you can just go pick up a prostitute? No, I didn't think so. All right. So it's like worse than us even, you know. You can't even go to church to get a prostitute in our culture. In their culture, it was normal, right? So all these desires that were twisted, and he says, you know, you guys were like that. You guys had those desires, and they were twisted. They looked different. They got distorted. But it says this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. Anybody know what sanctified means? God bless you. Sanctify is kind of one of those churchy words. Nobody? Come on, private schools. Where you at? Represent. You're looking it up. Cheater! Kind of. Sanctified means to make holy. That's another church word. What's holy mean? Set apart. It means to make different. So he's saying you were washed clean, you were sanctified, you were set apart, you were made different from the people around you. Because you used to be like that, but now you don't do those things. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. What does justified mean? So what happens when, you know, you're wronged, and so you go to court, and you know, and you win your court case, and you're like, justice is served. What does that mean? I took all your money. Right. So you got all the money in the name. No. Justified means that you made things right. Things were made right. So when I say justice was served, you know, Hayden punched me, and so I punched him back, and I'm like, justice is served. You know, I probably punched him a little harder, though, because he shouldn't have punched me. Yeah. But justice served. It's made right, all right? He punched me. I punched him. All right, we're square now. We can be buds again. Justified. So they were washed clean. They were set apart from the rest of the culture. And things were made right. All the things that they had done in the past that were offenses toward God have been made right. Good. Now check this out. They had this saying in Corinth. In verse 12, everything is permissible for me. If God is so good and God is so loving and he has to forgive me anyways as long as I just ask him, then I can do whatever I want, right? I hear that all the time today even. Probably from some of you guys even. Kristen for sure. What? You admitted it. I don't know. Everything is permissible for me. So Paul says, okay, yeah, everything is permissible for you. You know, technically, because you're a Christian, Christ has made you free. You can do whatever you want, and God will forgive you. But, check this out, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. Now, check this out. This is a saying. This is why they were saying, I can go to church and have sex with prostitutes because, you know, food is for the stomach, and stomach's for the food. Huh? You didn't think about it that way, did you? Logical. So next, no, just kidding. We're not going to do that. Let me tell you what this means. So food is for the stomach, stomach is for food. Basically, what they're saying is, well, if I get hungry, I have this desire to eat, and I eat, that was the whole purpose, right? That was why I was hungry, is because I needed to eat. Well, if I have all these like pent-up sexual frustrations and like desires and like, oh, I need to, whatever. I almost got graphic on you there, sorry. if I have all these like, oh, if I have this desire, then isn't it the same like food? Like, shouldn't I just feed my desire? Huh? That kind of makes sense after you put it that way, right? If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm sexually hungry, I have sex. Kind of makes sense. So check this out. This is what Paul says. Food for the stomach, stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. Okay, your stomach, when you die, is gone. Deteriorating, you no longer have it anymore. Done. You don't need food anymore. Good. He says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. This just got interesting on us. Because one of the questions I hear so often, like so often, and you probably have this question in your mind, you know. So let's say I'm dating this super hot girl when I was in college, and she was super hot, you know. Probably Allison, yeah.
Probably,
I don't know. There's just so many. That was a lie. I had one other girlfriend, and we never even kissed. So that's embarrassing. Just got transparent with you. Please don't mock me. All right, good. So super hot girl, you know, and, you know, we started dating, going out and stuff. And, you know, I'm like, man, she's so hot, you know. And so I started getting hungrier, if you know what I mean. You know, like not for food. The other thing. Yeah, I'm like, man, you know, I want to kiss her. That, what do you get? Come on. I wanted to hold her hand for the very first time 8 months after we started dating, all right? We wanted to make eye contact. First time. Oh, so intense. Totally satisfied. Good. All right, so you know, we want to kiss or whatever, right? I don't even know where I'm going with the story anymore. I'm so, like, thrown off because there's so many red faces out here right now. It's making me blush. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. No, I still don't know. Got it. All right. So the logic is, you know, we'll do something about it, and it's, you know, your desire will be fulfilled. Well, first of all, I that's not really true. You know, maybe you guys have experienced this, whether it's, you know, just holding hands or, you know, I'm sure you guys haven't done anything more than that. So holding hands or, you know, like, accidentally brushing each other's shoulders while you're walking by or something. But that makes you want more. That's how sexual desire, sexual hunger works. When you have, you want more. All right, so the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So the thing is that things just got crazy in this verse. So I have, you know, I have these desires with my girlfriend in college, who's Allison, and the question that comes to my mind is, what am I allowed to do with her that's still okay? How far am I allowed to go, still be cool with God? You know what I'm saying? No? Nobody else has that question? All right. Good. I'm going to assume that there's some quiet people in here that have that question. The correct answer is, well, I'm not going to tell you the correct answer right now. How far am I allowed to go? I hear that question so often. Or they'll tell me whatever they did and they'll say, is that all right? And then I always say, no, that's stupid. Don't do that anymore. You know, stay away from girls or stay away from guys. You know, that's my wise advice. So follow that advice. How far am I allowed to go? How far are you allowed to go in a relationship? Now check it out though, because Paul just said that's not the right question. He said the body's meant for the Lord and the Lord for the body. We'll get there in a second. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. So unlike our stomachs that when we die, they're going to just deteriorate, we're not going to need food anymore, our bodies, we get resurrected, right? Do you not know that your bodies, check this out, because this is true. If you're in here and you call yourself a Christian, or you're in here and you're thinking about becoming a Christian, or you're in here and you don't even care anything about Christians, if you're a Christian, or if you know a Christian, this is true. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. That seemed like a pretty obvious answer, by the way. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. That comes back to Genesis when God's talking about sex. You think it's awkward me talking about sex? Imagine like God showing up and being like, I'm going to tell you all about sex. And you're like, God, you know everything that I've done and everything that I've thought and everything I've seen, everywhere I've been and who I've been with. You know, this is getting kind of awkward. You know, so God like shows up, right, to Adam and Eve, and he's like, here's the deal about sex. When you guys unite, the two of you become one. I mean, you kind of get that graphically speaking, you know what I'm saying? You just take a second. One, right? Okay, good. But there's something more than that. I'm just saying, it's in the Bible, all right? Gosh. But there's something. I have never seen Kristen this red before. She was so embarrassed. Thank you for being much more mature than one of our leaders. All right. But there's something more than just the obvious two bodies getting tangled into one. There's something more. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, first of all, I just need to point out one of the hilarious, awkward things about our church is that the you are not your own. You were bought with a price. It's inscribed in the main congregation. So every time you look at that from now on, I want you to remember that God is talking about sex. So even our church, it's everywhere. You know, you can't get away from it. All right, good. Here's the thing that he's saying, though. He's saying that there's something about our bodies, our souls, that are made for God. He says the interesting thing about sex and sexual immorality and lust and those things, the interesting thing about those is that unlike any other sin, that's a sin against your own body. And he says this. Flee from sexual immorality. I don't know about you, but I've gone through periods of my life where I've thought that, hey, you know what? Here's the line in my mind of how far I can go. And I can go right up and rub elbows with that line, and I'll be good. But you know what? I wish I could stand here and tell you that I was stronger, but that's not true. It's not true for any of us. Because we all have this strong desire for sex and to be intimate with people. By the way, intimacy does not come from having sex. Ladies, know that. Intimacy does not come from having sex. And I hear time after time after time, and it breaks my heart, of girls your age that just want intimacy with a guy. And so they give them their body to have that intimacy. For guys, that's not intimacy. For you, it's not intimacy either. For guys, it doesn't even give them the illusion of intimacy. So just know that. Keep that in the back of your mind. We'll talk more about that in the next few weeks. But it says flee sexual immorality. It's not something that you can stand against and be strong and fight it's something you just need to run away from. And, you know, it makes me think of the story back in Genesis of Joseph with his, like, colorful coat, you know, and he got sold into slavery by his brothers, craziness, you know, and then he became this slave to this, like, super powerful guy, and then he was, like, super ripped up and hot stuff. And so, you know, the wife of the powerful guy is like, dude, you're so hot, let's do it, you know, because she had this desire, right? And Joseph's like, heck no, dude, I wouldn't do that. He called her dude, I don't know why. But then she's like, come on, come on, come on. And he's like, no way, get away from me. And she's like, come on. And she grabbed him, right? She grabbed his, like, tunic. And he's like, I don't even know what to do right now. I'm out of here. So he just, like, takes off, but she doesn't let go. And she still has the thing. So he's, like, running buck naked down the street, you know? Flee like that. If you got to flee buck naked down the street, you flee like Joseph, all right? Cover your nether regions because you don't want, you know, it's just, it's a bad cycle, you know. He got arrested and got thrown in jail, even though he didn't do anything except for streak down the street, which I think is a offense and other stuff. But it wasn't really his fault, but still. All right. But he says, it says, flee it. Don't try to stand up against it. Don't try to, you know, I'm just going to browse around on Facebook. You know, I'm not going to go on any other sites, you know, late at night or whatever. Flee it. Forget Facebook. Flee it. Because I know for a lot of people in here, guys, girls, doesn't matter. You can't keep it straight. You can't stay off sites you're not supposed to be on. Sorry. Can't keep it straight. Jeez. Here's the thing. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know what you're thinking. That doesn't really help me on how far I'm allowed to go. What Paul is trying to get at is change your perspective. Your question should not be, how far am I allowed to go so that I can feel this pleasure? Because your body is not for you, it's for who? This is for the Lord. And the Lord for your body. So instead of asking the question, how far am I allowed to go with that guy, or how far am I allowed to go with this girl, your question should be, how do I honor God with my body and my relationship with this guy and my relationship with this girl? That's a big shift in perspective. That's a tough one to have, especially with all these desires roaming free. I know I'm not really helping you out and telling you what's okay, what's not okay yet. We're going to get there in the next couple weeks. But I want to leave you with this. Because I know what I thought in college. I thought, man, this is impossible. There's no way. Just wait till you get engaged. It gets even harder. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's like purgatory, you know. You're just like, oh, man, get me out of this place, you know. And it feels like there's no possible way that you can have that perspective on how can I honor God with my body when the person sitting across from you is so smoking hot, you know what I'm saying? And everything's just raging. But check this out. I'm going to leave you with this for today. This is the next chapter, or the next few chapters over in the same book, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this. If you have a Bible, you might just want to underline this or highlight it or whatever, because this is a big one. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. It means the things that you're tempted by, the things that you feel like you can't control, that you just have to do, that, you know, whether it be something sexual or something totally different, lying, stealing, whatever, none of those compulsions are unique to you. There are people who struggle with that. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, we didn't really talk about what's actually temptation and what's okay to do. We're going to get there in the next few weeks. Just a little, brain teaser. But in the meantime, between now and then, remember this verse. There is no temptation that seizes you except what's common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but He will always provide a way out. And I know my problem in that is that I have to take the door. He'll show it to me. He'll open it for me. I got to walk out, and that's really hard to do. But doable. So, hopefully that wasn't too awkward. There's only like a few, slip-ups where, euphemisms were happening, but it's not too bad. You guys pointed them all out to me. Let me pray. I got a couple quick announcements, and you guys will be good to go. God, thank you for this morning. Thanks for a chance to worship you through music, through digging into your word, through hanging out with each other, through playing an awkward game made awkwarder. God, just thank you that you are here with us. We pray that as we talk about this subject of our sexuality over the next few weeks, that you would just open our eyes to see you in the midst of it. God, help us to see that your desire for us is not a list of rules of do's and don'ts and lines that we can't cross and those kinds of things, but your desire for us is to love you the way that you've loved us, passionately and intimately, and wanting to follow after you. God, I pray that you would help me and help anyone else in here who wants it to shift our mind and our perspective from how much pleasure can I get from me to how can I use my body to honor and glorify you. God, we thank you for your love for us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lauren's going to come make a couple of announcements real quick, but just as she's coming up here, make sure you grab those flyers too. I just want to say this. I know that there's people in here who have dealt with really difficult things regarding sex and sexuality. And I know that something, a series like this can bring some of that stuff up and bring some of that stuff out. And I know that can be really, really difficult to process. But just know that, you have leaders in here. If you need to chat about any of that stuff, go find, Kelly or Danielle or Chris or Isaac or Kristen or Lauren or just any of the leaders or Karen in here. Find somebody and talk. Because one of the things that I don't want to see happen in regards to sex and sexuality or anything really, but particularly this topic, is it can so easily isolate you. Can you guys just take a second? It can so easily isolate you. If you've done stuff that you're not proud of, or stuff's been done to you that you're embarrassed about, or worse, you can just clam up and that stuff can isolate you. But there's freedom. There's freedom when you say that stuff out loud and you start to work through that stuff. When you see God in the midst of that stuff. So I just want you guys to know that as we're talking about this stuff, if any of that stuff comes out, find somebody. It doesn't have to be me. You have a ton of leaders here. It could be a counselor at school. It could be a parent. It could be a neighbor, whoever. But find somebody and chat about that stuff. That's what we're here for. All right?